Have you got it? Do you understand it? Nothing else is required. The expectation is for all of us in different ways to reach different groups of people in different settings. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I might share in its blessings. What that looks like for me in my context will be different from what it looks like in yours. God has uniquely created you. He has individually placed you and specifically gifted you for your circle of friends, colleagues, family, for your calling, so that you could be the most effective person that God could put in that space. I had a great story yesterday, and the chap was telling me that he wasn't brought up in a Christian home, but he had friends that all used to go to church, and they would always drag along the church and force the church, and his children, you know, eventually they rebelled and said, that's it, I'm not doing church anymore, and I hate God, and I hate church, and I'm not doing it. And so he used to meet them in the pub, and he'd never been to church, and he didn't know anything about God, and they would just rant and rail against church and God. But then later on, he was 24, and he came to the Lord, and he went back to the pub to these guys. He says, guys, you'll never guess what? I just received Jesus as my own personal savior. And, oh, no, you've not become one of them. Oh, yeah, we ran away from all. Oh, yeah, well, we hate all that. Anyway, so that was it. And so they kind of carried on, and friendship got a bit distant because, you know, they went separate ways a bit. But a couple of years later, he bumped into one of these guys again, and the guy said to him, you know what? I really want what you've got. That stuff that I ran away from as a child in church, it's nothing like what you've got. He says, I've watched you, and the way you are, and the way that you handle Jesus in your life, the way it's changed you, it's radically transformed you, and I want what you've got. And I just want you to realize that God places us in situations where we wouldn't otherwise be, but he places us there, and he gives us a voice. He makes us part of a community, whether you be standing at the school gate, or whether you be sitting there in your family of unbelievers, or whether you be in a workplace that's quite hostile towards Christian things, God has placed you there. You're a unique individual, uniquely gifted, uniquely talented, uniquely prepared by God for that situation. And if you don't think that God's going to use you there, then I would say that you're doubting God and his plan and his purpose for your life, because he has placed you there for his purpose. You might never know. You might never know what outcome that's going to be. I remember bumping into a young man, and he must have been, I don't know, he was really tall. He could have been any age. Maybe he was about 18. Let's say he was 18. And he came from a family of 6 or 7 children. This young man came along to me and he said, oh, Murray, it's great to see you. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. Who are you? This huge guy. He was a tiny little kid when I knew him. And we'd helped run a kids club for this little church plant in Derby. And this kid was the worst kid of all kids. He was the kind of kid that if you're playing football, he'd kick you in the shins to get the ball off you. And he'd, like, you'd say, sit down, like, we're going to do the thing next. And he'd stand up, or he'd run away and just be like, oh. And there was one day that we were outside in the field or something, and we were playing football, and he decided he was going to do a runner. So he runs out the gate. So I run after him and kind of drag him back. And, oh, don't you do that again, or he'll ban you from the club. Anyway, so, you know, you have all these interactions with children, don't you? And you don't think anything of it. And this is years later, and he comes to me and he says, oh, Murray, thank you so much for sowing the love of Jesus into my life. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He says, oh, yeah, I became a Christian and I've been living for God and I really want to, you know, work for God and do that. And I'm like, you're not the same kid. You can't possibly be that kid, because that kid was an absolute monster. And he said, yeah, I'm sorry about all that, you know, but, you know, I'm on the right track now. And it was just amazing. But just to say that you never know what influence you're going to have on the people around you. And you might only see those seeds come to fruition years later, or even in eternity. You'll be standing in heaven and somebody will tug your sleeve and say, hi, I made it. You didn't think I would. Here I am. isn't it just amazing what God is going to do? It's brilliant, isn't it? Now, we're not all called to be the super exposed roles of the Christian life. Actually, they're probably more challenging anyway. Most of us will dominate the undercover world of Christian life, where we get the opportunity to stand in really hostile places, where we have no recognition and no rest from the challenges that are placed in front of us. But you need to know that you've been chosen for your situation. And all you need to do is be true to the calling that God has given you and to the good news that Jesus gave you and the impulses that the Holy Spirit will bring you. And you know what? We need to be more honest and open and transparent with each other. We need to share with each other the burdens and the struggles that we have in these areas so that we can hold each other up in prayer and help each other in practical ways if necessary, because that's what the body of Christ does. That's why we are together, because we're stronger together. That's why we're not just sitting in our own house this morning doing a quiet time. Oh, I really enjoyed what I got out of that this morning. No, actually, we're together because we can shout with a louder voice, because we can have a common mind. We can covenant together. We are here covenanting and saying yes together to God to make a bigger difference in this space where we are. I just want to say, if you require any further ministry, or if you need someone to listen to, or you want some practical help, then come and talk to us, member of the leadership team here. We'd love to help in any way we can. Okay, moving on to the next part, witnesses. It says in the Passion Translation, "You will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, Samaria, even to the remotest places on earth." It says, "You will be my messengers." Now, I admit that I've taken this verse totally out of context. It's a conversation Jesus was having with a select group of individuals at that time, in that place, on a hill, when he was getting ready to say farewell. But I reckon it's still relevant to us today. What do you think? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm so glad of that. Because we are also his disciples today. And if Jesus was standing in this room, giving a command to you directly, I reckon he would say the exact same thing anyway. He wants you to be his messenger, or as every other translation in the world has it, his witness. His witness. What does it mean to be a witness? Now, on the 2nd of November last year, we were burgled. But through Jed, our son's ingenuity, we managed to help the police catch the burglar. Now, this poor chap was sentenced last week. I don't know, is that a mixed feelings going on there, I'm not sure. So he got 2 years. But the statement that we'd given the police, and I don't know if you've ever had to do a statement for the police because you've been robbed or whatever, but nowadays they sit there with a little tablet and it kind of auto-fills the statement. And it's basically, how did you feel about that? Do you feel sad, distraught, emotional, disturbed? I don't know. I think we'll have disturbed on that one. Right, okay, bink. And it's a kind of self-writing statement that you're putting in. He's like, yeah, let's put lots of emotion in so they really know how you felt about it. And I'm thinking, I'm not feeling any of this at all. But yeah, I guess I should be feeling a bit distraught because they stole my son's Xbox, because he's distraught. So I'll take it on board for him. But so they take this statement and then it's read out in court. And it's kind of a witness statement, not because we were there when it happened, but because it recounts the experience from our perspective of the events and the outcome because of the burglary and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's an important part of the case. It lets the judge and jury know the effects of the crime, what's happened at the other end, the people that you probably won't see. Now, similarly for us as Christians, we're called to be witnesses of the events and the happenings in our lives, to convince those that we have opportunity to tell of the impact that it's made and how life-changing it is for us. So that means that you, your presence, your words, your actions, your attitudes are Christ to this world. The way you interact with your surroundings and the situations and the struggles that you face are the most convincing argument to those who don't know Jesus, that they should inquire further and take that step of faith. No pressure, but really, it's all on you, okay? Did anyone tell you that when you said yes to Jesus? They said, oh, and by the way, the taking of the gospel to the world, that's on you now. Here you are. What? I just said yes to Jesus. I want my life transformed. Yeah, okay. That kind of goes along with it. So God has designed it this way. He wanted each one of us to be important in the spread of the gospel. Every moment of every day, you stand or fall as a witness, and the impact of your visual statement, you might never know, as we said before, the wider implications. But you are constantly sowing the seeds of Jesus. So do it well, or ask God for help, or preferably both at the same time. Okay, moving on. The final part of the verse is usually the most challenging one for a local church. I liken it to a four-stage rocket. Okay, so it's a four-stage rocket because each stage propels the gospel to a wider radius until it encompasses the whole earth. Pause for dramatic effect. Yeah, I've got that written in my notes here. Pause for dramatic effect. Now, I love the fact that here at Truro Baptist Church, that there's a great balance and an acute awareness of each of these areas. Now, usually the preacher would give the four areas mentioned, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, and then challenge the church to think about how they're going to realize those four areas. Now, here, I don't have that problem, do I? I just need to identify the amazing work that's already happening and encourage you to continue what you're doing. If we start with the Jerusalem, Jerusalem is Truro for us, isn't it? That's the way that we live and breathe Jesus as a church in our locality. That's here through our gatherings, through lanterns, through Trelander Estate and everything that's going on there, the preschool, through visits, through conversations, assemblies, lessons, through each individual person standing for Jesus wherever they find themselves. That's the Jerusalem part. And then we move outwards to Judea. That could be the whole county of Cornwall. And just think of the way this church impacts the county, how we are connected throughout this place. I just think of the prayer meeting, the Revival Cornwall prayer meeting that was held here this past week with representation from all over the county. I see that as a way that we have been used to promote unity and growth. And then if you think of the connections this church has with St. Austell Baptist and down into Penzance, it becomes a hub then for North and South Cornwall, doesn't it? Yeah. It's amazing. Not to remember the other groups that we are connected with through our members. And then we've got the Baptist Association. Through there, we have connections with Emmanuel Baptist Church in Falmouth and Saltash up there on the borders on the east. Then we move out again to our Samaria. Now we could choose the dim and dark county of Devon as our Samaria. What do you think? It's dark. It needs the light of Jesus. Don't you think? But I think more likely, if you look at the map, you see, I looked at the map and I thought, you've got Jerusalem, then you've got Judea around Jerusalem, and then you've got Samaria kind of the next bit on from Jerusalem. But is that the whole of Israel? I wasn't quite sure. So I think we're going to go for the UK. What do you think? Yeah, I think the UK makes more sense, really. Now, apart from the fact that many of us have relatives all over the place, we also are connected through the Baptist Union to hundreds of fellowships throughout this country who are reporting what God is doing on a weekly, if not monthly, basis through evangelism and life transformation. If you don't know these good news stories, check out the Baptist website. Check out the Southwest Baptist Association. They're really good at reporting good news stories. If you want to see what God is doing, do that. Or you could do what Matt and I did and turn up at a Baptist steering group meeting. People who were further away wanted to know stuff about what was going on. Anyway, so we told them. But there is a great revival going on amongst Iranians at the moment in this country. There's a great Iranian church population in Derby, where we came from. In fact, our neighbour across the road was the minister of a Salt and Light church, and he had a big kind of shed in his back garden. And the Iranians used to meet there, about 40, 50 of them, until they got too many, and then they had to move somewhere else. I was going to share another story of one of the chaps that was at this Baptist steering group thing. A young guy who'd just come along and basically repurposed an old church, rebranded it, renamed it, and made it a family church. and he's seen amazing things and loads of baptisms and loads of life going on there. And it just, for me, it was really encouraging to be and hear someone else's story and to see that God is actually doing things. So that's our Samaria, the whole of our country. And then finally, we move on to the ends of the earth. And this is another one of the things that I love about TBC is your heart for mission and for the world. Mission's in my heart. It's part of my DNA. And it has a very important role to play in the kingdom of God. And when I think of the people who represent this church around the world and the support and the encouragement they receive here, it's a real blessing to me. And I hope you're blessed as well to realize that you're part of the global gospel sharing initiative. And every time you support some of these guys, your support is really helping to extend the kingdom of God. Yeah, so it's really good. I think that a church who has a heart for mission has got hold of the heart of God, really, isn't it? So if I'm saying that Truro already has these areas covered, then what do I need to do? What am I trying to say here? Well, the challenge perhaps for us today is not one of establishing something new, but instead to ask God what he wants me to do, where he wants me to position myself for ultimate effectiveness. At the start of the year, it's always good to reflect and resolve to see what we are going to achieve in the coming year. And this morning, I want you to take Acts 1:8 into your hearts, to ask God to take you on an adventure this year, whether it be gaining a sense of urgency about the timing of God or to realize your role as a witness for God, to the life-changing love of God, to your friends and neighbors, or the question of where God wants to use you. Is your positioning right? Should you be focused on Truro? Should you be focused more on the county of Cornwall? Or is God asking you to do something nationwide in the whole of the UK? Or even, dare I say, is God planted a seed in your heart that will take you to the ends of the earth? God is issuing you and me with a challenge this morning to catch his heart for this world, for your life, and for you to commit for it to happen.